Able to be here, but want you to be with us tonight. And as was mentioned already, school starts back very soon, and our prayers tonight are going to be not only from your request, but also prayers that will be for the beginning of school year, for our parents, for teachers, and for others. And so we would love for you to be with us tonight and join us together and as a we sing some songs together, and we spend the night in prayer together. Our study this morning is coming from the book of Philemon. And we're going to be reading several verses before we get into the book of Philemon, but then I'd like for you to follow along with me as we read through the book of Philemon. It's a very small book, very short letter that the Apostle Paul writes to Philemon. And I want to say a little bit more leading into this particular book and give you a little background about what's going on and what's occurring and some of the important characters. To kind of set the scene, though, this song that we have just sung was perfect. I didn't request it, but Joe always does such a good job. But this song was perfect for what we're going to be looking at. What is it like to be loved by the love of the Lord? What is it like to love somebody with the love of the Lord? Is it to always say what they want to hear? Is it to always do what they want to do? What is it like? Philemon is a perfect example. And we'll be looking at the book of Philemon together this morning. But before we do that, let's take a look at a map. Can y'all see that all right? I'm going to turn around. The only reason I put this up here is that where we're going for the book of Philemon is in this area. It's in this area right in here. That's where Onesimus came from. That's where Paul is sending his letter to Philemon, because that's where Philemon is living. I'm going to get to the particular city. The particular city is Colossae. And we'll get to that in just a second. But what I want you to notice is it's generally accepted that Paul is in prison in Rome. And somehow, some way, Onesimus goes from here to meet Paul in Rome. There's some question about if Paul is actually in Rome in prison, but most of the other options don't seem to fit with the letter and with the history behind Paul. And so when you look at this journey where Onesimus is here and he meets Paul, and there he's converted by Paul, becomes a Christian, and then is sent back to Philemon, a journey of some 1,000 miles. And he goes back to Philemon. We're going to see a part of that journey in just a second as we go through. But I wanted you to look at the total distance. And the next slide that we'll look at is this one, which brings us over. They're going to come into the city of Ephesus, and then they have a letter from Paul for Ephesus. They have a letter from Paul to Laodicea, and then they come to Colossae. And Colossae is where Philemon lives. And that's where they are and where this letter is eventually going to go. And we're going to run into several different characters as we go along with the reading. So open your Bibles to the book of Philemon, and I want you to read with me the first three verses, and we'll be introduced to some of the characters, and then we're going to step back and take a look at some other readings to see the remainder of the characters. So I'm going to have you to turn to Philemon, then we're going to turn back to Ephesus, and then we're going to turn back to the book of Colossians. And we're going to read the description that's given of some of the characters that we're about to read about in the book of Philemon. Verses 1 through 3, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. Timothy's there. Timothy may have a part in writing the letter. There's a particular part where Paul says, I'm writing this with my own hand. It seems to be referring to a particular statement, but it could be referring to most of the letter. But Timothy is there along with Paul, and he writes to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, very likely his wife, because the two other characters mentioned in addition to Philemon are going to be recognized as being in Philemon's house. And so to Appia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, possibly Philemon's son, or their son. And the church in your house, the church meets in their house, evidently a very wealthy man, and evidently having a house large enough for whatever body of people would have gathered there. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. You have Philemon, Appia, Archippus, possibly husband, wife, and son with regard to those three characters. Now, we're going to run into some others. Turn back to Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and verse 21. The Apostle Paul includes this in the closing part of his letter to the church at Ephesus. Now, you saw Ephesians, it's right on the coastline, and Paul is writing this, and he says to the church at Ephesus, "So that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts." Tychicus is the one taking the letter to the church at Ephesus. He's also going to be the one to deliver the letter to Laodicea, and he's going to be included when we come to Colossae. And he's the one that's bringing this letter from Paul in Rome to the different cities. If you turn over four pages in my Bible, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7, we read about Tychicus again. And this is the letter to the church at Colossae. That's where Philemon is. That's where this letter is going to wind up. And Paul writes about Tychicus in verse 7 of chapter 4. He says, "Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He's a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts." Now look at the next verse. And the next verse says, "And with him, Onesimus." Onesimus is the slave, the servant or slave that ran away or left Philemon. And he is traveling with Tychicus. With him, with Tychicus, is Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. And if you drop down a little further, down to verse 17, Philemon's son is mentioned, Archippus. In verse 17, Paul writes about Archippus writing to the church at Colossae and telling them to say to Archippus, "See that you fulfill the ministry that you have received from the Lord." Now, in the book of Philemon, Paul refers to him as a fellow soldier of Christ. But in the book of Colossae, to the church at Colossae, he's asking the church at Colossae to encourage Archippus to fulfill the ministry that he has in the Lord. Very similar to the words that Paul would write to Timothy, to fulfill the ministry that you have in the Lord. And he's telling Philemon's son, if that be the same person, telling Philemon's son to do the same thing. And I put those up. I forgot to bring them up, but those are all there. I want you to read with me verses 4 through 7 before we get into the heart of the book. And this is Paul's introduction to the letter to Philemon. "I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." The word hearts in verse 7 becomes an important word in the book. It's used three times. Paul will refer to Onesimus as being his heart. And Paul will also refer to, talking to Philemon, will say, refresh my heart. And the idea behind the heart is the inner being, the emotions, the inner spirit of an individual. And Paul is referring to Onesimus as his heart. And he's also saying to Philemon, the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you. And then at the end, he will ask Philemon to fulfill what Paul is asking so that Paul's heart can be refreshed with regard to his son. We're about to be introduced to the reason he's called him a son with regard to Onesimus. So, what we're about to read is a book written to Philemon. It is written to one side. There are two sides to this situation that has caused problem. Those two sides are Onesimus, who, for whatever reason, and forever how he did it, has turned his back on being a servant to Philemon. We don't know how he got to Rome. We don't know what the circumstances were that brought him to Rome. If he was actually running away from Colossae all the way to Rome, or perhaps maybe Philemon sent him on a job toward Rome and he decided not to come back. But for whatever the reason he is away from Philemon, there is no question he's away from him. And for a time at least, he did not seem to have any intention of going back. And then he meets Paul. And Paul is about to describe what has occurred with regard to that meeting in the letter that he has to Philemon. What we're reading in this letter is one side. This is Paul talking to one side of the issue. What did he say to the other side? Well, there's some verses that help us. They're in the letter that Tychicus and Onesimus are carrying to Ephesus. And they are in the letter that Tychicus and Onesimus are carrying to Colossae. And there are things that are in that letter that the Apostle Paul, no doubt, has said to Onesimus. So before he gets to dealing with one side of the division, he's already dealt with the other side of the division. And he's going to let Philemon know about that. And he does that also with those letters. In Ephesians, this is what Paul will write. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he's a bondservant or is free. Then to the masters, masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven and that there is no partiality with him. Paul already had conversation with Onesimus. Philemon, he has conversation with Philemon. This in the book of Colossians. Talking to the slaves, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. And then in the very next chapter, first verse, he talks to the masters. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Paul had already talked to Onesimus, and we're not given the full details of that conversation. But whatever the details of that conversation were, Onesimus is on his way back to Colossae. Onesimus is making the journey, the full journey, back to Philemon. because of a conversation that he's had with Paul. So while we get one side of the conversation in Philemon, there are two sides. Both sides have been talked to. Both sides have been dealt with, not necessarily dealt with, but have been talked to and persuaded. And that was done, first of all, by Onesimus before he ever left. Now he's agreed to leave, and he's made the journey back. And now Paul has them carrying a letter that'll be hand-delivered to Philemon, which we are about to look at. Start reading with me in verse 6, where Paul begins to describe. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command that you do what is required, I can command you. It's a little funny for me that he says that here because of what we're about to look at. But he's making it clear. I'm not making it, but I'm going to strongly encourage you. I'm not commanding you, even though I could. Yet because of love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner of also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Onesimus, ever how he did it, whether it might have been through the influence of someone else, either went to or was brought to Paul. And Paul talked to him. And he became his son, meaning he became a Christian, meaning Paul baptized him into Christ. So this Onesimus is now a Christian. And Paul says, whose father I became in my imprisonment. You remember Paul will write in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, for though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. He's the one that led them to Christ. And the same thing is true of Onesimus here. He says in verse 11, formerly he was useless to you. The word Onesimus means useful, profitable, beneficial. And Paul uses in verse 11 this as a play on words, talking about Onesimus. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to me, useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. There's that word again. My very soul, my very being, the very depth of my feelings. I'm sending them back to you. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment in the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. I would have wished that I could have kept him. But I don't want to do anything against your will, and I don't want it to be something forced upon you. And so what I wanted to do was bring him back to you so that you could do with him whatever you thought might be best. Now, a lot of times we look at this and it looks as if what Paul is wanting to do is to have Onesimus to come back. And I don't think he would have been disappointed in that at all. But there are some imperatives that are given. And all of the imperatives follow in the instructions. And I want you to think with me a little bit about those imperatives. The imperatives are, this is what I want you to do. This is what I'm telling you or asking you to do. And then verse 15 says this, for perhaps this is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. I would love to have him back. But maybe the reason he left to begin with is so you could have him back forever, but in a different situation. And he describes the situation. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Now, the key verses of this whole book begin in verse 17. And I want you to look carefully with me as we look at these verses. Verse 11 and verse 13 could both be a play on words on the word Onesimus, which means an individual that is helpful, or an individual that is trustworthy, an individual that is useful. And verse 13 says this, "I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel." I'm wondering if the word serve is also, he could serve me, mean be helpful to me, be useful to me. And if that's kind of also a play on words. But I want you to drop down. We're going to go to verse 17. I'm going to point out imperatives to you. We're not going to have them listed, but we're going to look at what these verses say. "So, if you consider me your partner, receive him." That's an imperative. "Receive him as you would receive me." And he's asking Philemon. He's not demanding, even though the imperative sense is used. He's requesting in a very encouraging, strong way. "Receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account." Another imperative. If he owes you anything, if he's stolen money from you, if he's taken money from you, you charge that to me. That's another imperative. "I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart, my inner being, my soul, my emotions." Same key word, this third time that it's used. "I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ." What do you see in verses 17 through 20? Let's take a look. Verses 17 through 20, let's put this up on the screen. We'll look at them one at a time. And then let's think about them just for a second. This is reconciliation between two individuals. One who was angry at another, well, both of them angry. One fleeing, possibly determining never to go back. I don't want to ever be there again. And the other one saying, in essence, "I'm done with him. He's useless to me. I'm done with him." And so here comes reconciliation. That's what this is all about. As Jesus reconciled God to man, so Paul is reconciling Onesimus and Philemon. And as we go through these things Paul is saying, they are exactly parallel to what Jesus has done. And the Apostle Paul, in dealing with these two individuals who were at odds with each other, who were enemies with each other, is doing toward them exactly what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. So here we look at it. Paul took the side of the guilty to plead for forgiveness. He took Onesimus' side. He'd already talked with Onesimus, already had assurances from Onesimus that Onesimus was willing to change his heart and his mind and his actions. And he demonstrated that by willing to go back on that long journey, to go back to where he was before, and to go back to the house of Philemon, and to be what Philemon would have him to be. And Onesimus has already been talked to, and he's already made agreement. So Paul took the side of the guilty when he writes his letter to Philemon. He takes the side of Onesimus to plead with Philemon to forgive Onesimus, telling him about the change that has been made and the change in heart that has occurred. Exactly what Jesus does for us. He came to be like us. He came to plead for the guilty. He came to take the place of us, the guilty, in order to plead to God
for our forgiveness. Paul offered to pay whatever Onesimus owed. Whatever he owes you, I will pay it. And Jesus paid it. Jesus paid the cost for every sin every human being has ever committed. He paid the price by his blood, by his life, for the sin of every human being in the entire world. And here is Paul, in reconciling these two brothers, doing exactly what Jesus did for Paul, doing exactly what Jesus did for each and every one of us. Paul brought about restoration and improvement. These two men would have never gotten back together, no doubt, if it hadn't been for Paul. Paul was the reason they came back together. Paul was the reason that talking with both of them and working with both of them and telling each of them what they needed to do in order to restore this relationship, they listened to him and they were brought back together in this relationship. Jesus did the same thing. Jesus is the one who brings us back to Christ or brings us back to God. He's the one who restores our fellowship and our relationship with God and makes us what we ought to be in order to be faithful with God. How do we know that happened with the book of Philemon? We read the book of Philemon. When we read the book of Philemon, what do we know? Or what can we assume? Philemon didn't read the letter and tear it up. Philemon didn't read the letter and burn it. Philemon didn't read the letter and evidently didn't ignore it. There is some historical evidence that later on there's an Onesimus near the church of Colossae who became a leader in that church. Some of the early church fathers write about it. But it's not told to us here. But we have this book and it's in our Bible. It's a part of the inspired New Testament. Philemon didn't destroy it. He read it. And we have every reason to believe he listened to it and did what God would have him to do. How are we to be in our life? How are we to be in our life toward others? Telling people what they want to hear, or saying to ourselves and to others what they need to hear in a kind and loving way, doing the very best that we can to bring about relationships and restore them and bring them back to where they need to be. That's what Paul did in this little letter to the man by the name of Philemon. All of us have the opportunity to be restored to God because of what Jesus has done. If we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we are baptized into him and we walk faithful to him, we belong to God. There may be some here this morning who are ready to become a Christian. There may be some who need to come home to Christ.